The reading today is from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And this is the word of the Lord.
So who does put 99 sheep in jeopardy to take the risk to find the one? Who turns their house upside down looking for that one coin that seems to be lost? Lights a lamp, using up precious oil or electricity or whatever in order to find that such a small amount of value. And then when it's found, throws a party. Nobody. It makes no sense at all to spend so much for so little in return. But Jesus tells us how that is what God is like. God the crazy shepherd. God the crazy woman who seeks. Has anyone been lost? Few of you have been lost? Really, really lost? How did you feel? Happy? Oh, I'm lost. Oh, yeah. Scared. Alone. Might be lost in the garden at home or in the cupboard or in the forest or on a mountain or wherever. Did someone find you? Or did you find your own way out of that lostness? I reckon the story of Boogie Woogie is a great story. We should write that up. But in 1960, before I was born, but not so many of you, you might remember in 1960, in February in 1960, for 4 days and 3 nights, there was the greatest search in Australian history taking place for a little boy by the name of Stephen Walls in the New England Ranges of New South Wales, got lost. And he was known as the Little Boy Lost. You may remember it. They found him alive and well. And Johnny Ashcroft, whoever Johnny Ashcroft is, he's a singer. Thanks, Carol. He wrote a song called "The Little Boy Lost." I've never heard of Johnny Ashcroft before, but I remember the song. I know. So we're going to watch that video now. The video is a bit fuzzy because it was produced way back before we had HD definition and all that sort of stuff. But there's a song, "Little Boy Lost," and the video that goes with it that sets the scene for our sermon today. Thanks.
Yeah. In the wild New England ranges came the word one fateful day to every town and village that a boy had lost his way. All the townsfolk quickly gathered and the wild bush horses tossed as they went to search the ranges for a little boy lost. They went out to search the ranges for a little boy lost. A lad of just 4 summers, Stephen Walls, that is his name, and nobody doubts his courage, 'cause he's hardy and he's game. But there's danger in this country that man has seldom crossed, and they wonder if they'll find alive this little boy lost. And they wonder if they'll find alive this little boy lost. Came the night, came the morning, another night, another dawning, and the mother weeps in silence as she kneels before the cross, and she prays to God in heaven for her little boy. No one walks upon the street, for they comb the wild bush country on 1,000 aching feet. They searched every hidden valley, though his trail they never crossed, and their hopes are slowly fading for this little boy lost. And their hopes are slowly fading for this little boy lost. And sun beat down upon the earth that final day. With heavy hearts they prayed to God above to show the way. When from the scrubby gully came the voice there ne'er forgot, "Where's my daddy? Where's my daddy?" cried the little boy lost. "Where's my daddy? Where's my daddy?" cried the little boy lost. In the far New England ranges, there's a boy that's known so well. There's a story that the townsfolk and the bushmen often tell. How he fought a rugged country where man has seldom crossed, and a mother's prayers were answered for her little boy lost.
Remember the Thai boy soccer team got lost in the cave? Remember Beaconsfield mine? Jesus said, who would leave the 99 and search for the one? When was the last time you had dinner with a sinner? Well, for me, it was this morning. It was over breakfast, Weet-Bix and cereal and toast, as I sat with myself. But it was over lunch, apparently, or dinner, that Jesus had a meal. And there were tax collectors and sinners and riff-raff and the likes. And Jesus tells these stories of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And the third story, which we don't read today, but it's the story of the prodigal son, the lost son who returns home. We've probably heard those stories before, the story of the lost sheep and the coin. We're familiar with them. They speak of being lost and found. And yet, whilst I was preparing this week, I thought and prayed about the message, and I thought, well, don't look at the parables themselves. Because Jesus didn't start with, listen to this parable about a sheep and a coin. So I read them again in the light of this, and I no longer saw that these parables were about a sheep or a coin, but how passionate was the searcher, how passionate the farmer, the shepherd, and the woman, how the farmer seeks and finds, and how the woman searches the house until she finds. I believe the parables are made up. They're not true stories, but they might have some factual history to them, but they're parables. They're stories to tell a point, to highlight the significance of something. That doesn't mean there was no historical context, but Jesus might have seen something again and then goes, ah, there was a farmer once who had. There's stories to tell a point. That God might just prefer having lunch or breakfast or dinner with people like us, the common people, the ordinary, and not those who think themselves righteous. So the parable does talk about sheep. And I don't know about Middle Eastern sheep, but their Aussie cousins are pretty dumb. Have you ever watched sheep? They don't do a lot. They just wander around and eat and drink and follow the leader. It's easy for sheep to get lost, to get out on the road or end up in the scrub. But I think even more so Middle Eastern sheep with mountains and bushes. And I reckon sheep don't even know that they're lost. I mean, all of a sudden the sheep stops grazing and looks up and says, oh, my Lamb of God, I'm lost. And then freaks out and goes, bah. Then I had another thought. Who has 100 sheep? Aussie farmers? Yeah, well, no. Aussie farmers have probably 1,000 sheep or 10,000 or 500 or whatever it is. 100? Well, very small sheep farm unless you're a stud farm or something. 100 sheep is more sheep than there are people in this room. Think about it. It's an exaggerated story. It's a story to tell a point. It's an excessive point to ram home the message. 10 sheep, more realistic. Let's be realistic about Middle Eastern sheep. 10 sheep and one gets lost. Now that's a story. That's your livelihood. You've got 10 sheep and you're a shepherd and one gets lost. That's very, very, very significant. But 100... who would mind losing one? Just pick that up on next year's lambing season as it goes around. You'll be right. But no, this is 10. The farmer leaves the 99 and searches for that one. By now, the Pharisees are starting to grumble. They're starting to think this story is about us, or Jesus having a go at us, maybe. They're beginning to hear something that is rocking their foundations. Is Jesus pulling the wool over their eyes? Then Jesus slips in another story about the coin that I shared this morning. 10 coins of a wedding necklace. Imagine one coin being missing on your wedding day or your wedding week. So you turn the house upside down and you look for that one coin. So Jesus may well be referring to something of significant value here, not just a coin and not just a sheep. So what is Jesus saying? That the one is more important than the other? No. That the one is more important than the rest? No. That the one is equally important as the 9 and the 99. Yes. Often we look at the text and we focus on the object, in this case the sheep and the coin, but when we read this with the focus on the object, but we look at that searcher. We look at the person, we look at the farmer who searched and the woman who looked for that coin, and the parable opens up for a new insight. The sheep does nothing except get lost. The coin does nothing except slip down the back of the couch until you find it, and then you take it to the McDonald's or Hungry Jack's and buy a shake or a burger or something. But the effort, the work, the passion is in the one who is looking, who is searching, who is going out at all lengths like Boogie Woogie, sorry, like Craig searching for Boogie Woogie at night. Who is the farmer? Who is the woman? Who is the one that seeks the 99 or that one, the one rather than the 99? It is God, the good shepherd. God, the crazy shepherd. God, the crazy woman who seeks and searches until it's found. And at the finding of that lost comes a celebration. If we heard the reading carefully, the farmer puts the sheep on the shoulders and goes home and celebrates. I won't say with a barbecue, because that would be inappropriate. But the woman puts on a party. She invites the other women around for high tea and celebrates. Rejoice with me, they say, for that which is lost is now found. Let's party. So why do we worship on a Sunday morning? Why do we come here when we could be out doing the City to Bay fun run or whatever it might be? Why do we come to worship here? Because we come to thank God for Jesus. We praise God for God's great saving and seeking, persistent, searching love, acceptance, reconciling, forgiveness, peace and hope that we find in Jesus. The call for us is not to stay in here and feel all warm and fuzzy or woolly and snug in our Ugg boots and warm woolen jackets, but to go and to share and to proclaim that good news message of the one who seeks until we are found. And that is the good news. That's the good news of these parables. So I had a question in my mind as I was preparing this, a lot of questions actually for today. What would happen if we as the church simply printed these lost stories on a piece of paper, A4 piece of paper, the parable of the sheep and the parable of the coins and even the parable of the lost son, onto an A4 piece of paper and folded it with the words lost on the outside? You know, like you get those in your letterbox, lost Boogie Woogie at Hungry Jack's. And on the inside, we have the word found. And we letterboxed our community. But inside that notice was an invitation to a special morning tea, coffee and cake at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning here. What would that be like? A special invitation to coffee and cake service. We wouldn't do worship that day. It'd be like one big morning tea. It would be a party. It would be a welcome in. Come on, share with us. Maybe we would sing a song and maybe we'd choose Amazing Grace, but maybe we wouldn't. I don't know. Maybe we simply read those parables and let God's Spirit do the rest. And I ask the question, what if just one person from the community came because of that piece of paper that was in their letterbox to that special morning tea, coffee and cake at 10. But what if that person only came for the free coffee and the free cake? I think there'd be celebration. There would be much rejoicing. I think that's something we might think about. It would be risky. But I reckon it would be worth it as we remember the crazy good shepherd and the crazy woman and the crazy father who kept searching for his lost son. Will you join with me in prayer? God, the crazy good holy shepherd, you are the hope of those who find themselves to be lost, and the joy of those who find themselves to be found. Please give us the will to utterly trust you. Save us from that silly notion that we always know what's best, and call us back from those downhill paths that lead to confusion and desolation. Bring us with all your people into that fold where nothing can ever be lost again. Wonderful are you, great shepherd of the world. Wonderful are you, great shepherd of the church. Wonderful are you, great shepherd of each lonely person. Wonderful are you, great shepherd of all who come. Thanks and praise be to you forever through Jesus Christ, our crazy, seeking, loving, embracing shepherd. Amen. As we reflect on those words this morning, the song that we sing is Come As You Are, and we might remember and think about being lost, being found, being welcomed, embraced, part of the community, belonging, all of that. Come as you are, that's how I want you. It's the invitation by Jesus. Come as you are.